We begin the current daf mesechet in the darim daf and zayin. We begin at the top of the amud. We continue the next mishnah. Again, continuing on the theme of the previous mishnahs of these two parakim, but a slightly different variation. And that is, we were speaking in these last two parakim regarding what is the intention of a person when he's making a neder, and that is always defined by the lashem and the adam. What does the person mean to say when he's saying the neder? When he makes a neder from a bias, what is considered a bias, and so on. Now, our Mishnah says related to that, but here it's from his phraseology, where we could understand what is his intention and thus the ramifications of his neder. As the Mishnah explains, Kainim peirs ha'elu olai. Someone says, a kainim, which is the lashon of a carbon, a kinui, that is a halacha of a neder, that these fruits are forbidden on me. Or similarly, kainim hein al pi, they're forbidden as a neder to my mouth, on my mouth. Or kainim hein lefi, or they're a neder to my mouth. Now, the reason why there's a specific halacha over here is because since he specified the specific fruits that he's making a neder on, he didn't just say, coin and pay is alive, that I'm not eating any fruits. He said, these fruits are forbidden to me. Thus, as the Ran explains, that gives it the status as hektish. Because you can't say every fruit in the world is hektish. When you're saying, these fruits are forbidden on me, you give it a more intense standard of a neder, and it has a halacha like hektish, where intrinsically the object becomes a forbidden object, what's called a chetza chaticha di sur, a real object of prohibition. Hence, because of that, asa b'chilufeinu b'gidulein. Therefore, he's not going to be asa just in fruits, but because he said, these fruits are forbidden to me, now, not only are the fruits themselves going to be forbidden, but just like when you take an object of hektish, and you either swap it with something else, which is called chiluf, or gidulav, if it has outgrowths from the thing itself, it becomes forbidden. So too, this kainim is the same type of a thing where not only is the object of these fruits themselves forbidden, but even chilufei, and let's say the money that you get in exchange for it, or the outgrowths that come out of those fruits, that's also going to be forbidden. Now, and as the Ran explains, this is different than when you just make a neder in general, from that you're not going to have any figs or you're not going to have any grapes, that since they didn't specify which one of this entire type of fruits, you didn't make the entire species into hektish because you just said you didn't want to eat from that type of a fruit. And therefore, generically, it wouldn't make an iser in chilufei negidulein. It's only here, like in our case, where you specified peirs ha'elu, these fruits, or kainim hein, that's why it's going to include even chilufei negidulein. Now, the Ram points out, therefore, the same thing would apply if you say peirs makom pleini, say that place's fruits, or peirs of shapleini, or that person's fruits, that since you specified, so it's like you delineated, and hence it's going to have the same halacha as our Mishnah of Elu, where you're going to be forbidden in not only that person's fruits, but also chilufein and gedulehen, as it's going to become apparent from the halacha of our Mishnah. Now the Ram points out an obvious question on his interpretation of our Mishnah, where is that, how can we say that when you say Elu, you become forbidden in chilufein and gedulehen, like the Ram explained, because you're specifying, but he says, seemingly this is contingent on Rami Bachama's question in Perikah Shutfen Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. And since, as the Ram will explain, that it was questionable, this interpretation, obviously it's not based on the fact of Elu. Because Rami Bachama asked on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, he says, if someone says, Koinim Peirus Elu Al Plaini, I want these fruits, again you're using the term Elu, should be forbidden on that person. So Rami Bachama asked, what's going to be the halacha? Will Chilufein also be us on that person? Now, the suffix, the doubt, of Rami Bachama was that, because it depends how you define the halacha of our Mishnah. If it's because when you're saying kainim peirus ha'elu olai, that it's asur and chilufein and gedilein because of that, the intention of the one who's taking the neder, that he means to make not only these fruits forbidden on him, but even chilufein and gedilein, so that would only apply to the one who's making the neder on himself. It wouldn't apply to making the neder on someone else, what's called a mudr. The reason being is because since chilufein and gedulein are not extant yet, that what's called shalei bala olam, you can't make something forbidden on someone else that shalei bala olam. So therefore, regarding the case of Rambam Bacham of kainim peirus ha'elu al plaini, it would not make him forbidden in chilufein and gedulein. Or Rambam Bacham says, maybe the reason of the halacha of our Mishnah is not because that's the intention of the one who's making the neder to include even chilufein and gedulein, rather it's because it's an intrinsic rabbinic penalty that we say that the chiluf will have the same halacha as the gidul. In other words, this is like a generic halacha that we say regarding any isra hanah, not just specifically for halacha of neder. Anything that's forbidden to have hanah from, we say that what you exchange it for will be asr for the one who exchanged it himself. Hence, that halacha would apply, since it's just an extension of the Isra Anah, it would apply not just to the Noida, but even to the Muda. As we explained already, this suffix of Rambam Chama there. Now, but one thing the Rambam points out is that definitely, if the reason of the halacha of our Mishnah, which again is the doubt of Rambam Chama, and thus the extension will be, does this apply to a Muda or not? So if you say the option B, that because Chilufein is like Gedulein, like by Oli Surana, then that halacha wouldn't be necessarily because he said Elu, the way the Rans explained the halacha of a Mishnah, because if this is a halacha that applies by every Isur Hana, that the chiluf and the thing you exchange it for this thing that's prohibited to have enough from applies to the extent to that what you're switching it to, that's not because you said Elu, it has nothing to do with Elu, it's not because the halacha is of Nadarm. Now, therefore, the Rans says, since according to the second option of this Oy Dilma, that Elu is not lavdavka, it's not the term that's creating the Isra of Chilufein and Gedulein, because it's something that applies to all Isra Ano. So then obviously then the same thing would be, even regarding option A, that the reason why Chilufein and Gedulein is Aster and Amishnah is because of the Kavanah of the one who's making the Neder, that also would sound like that Elu is not necessarily the impetus and the reason for the Isra of Chilufein and Gedulein. Because it must be a generic thing, because as the Gemara there is apparent, Rambam Bachama's doubt was not regarding if you have to say the word Elu or not, because if that was the contingency, then that should be the question, does it have to be Elu or not? Obviously, since he didn't say that was what it rides on, so therefore it sounds like that, just like option B, Elu is not integral, because that's for Oli Yisrael Anah, so option A is also not integral based on Elu. So the Ran's asking, how could I say an explanation of the Halacha of Mishnah? That the reason why you're Asr Chilufein and Gedulein is because you said Elu, when it's clear from Rabbi Bachama's question on Daf Mem Zayin that has nothing to do with Elu whatsoever. So that the Ran says that the truth is, as we explained in our Mishnah, that Elu is the primary reason when you're saying this, so you're specific, so that's why it's like hektish, and that's why Chilufein and Gedulein is going to be Asr also. And that actually, he says, would even be according to option B, that the reason why Chilufein is Asr is because it's like Gedulein and like all Isur Hanah. But that, according to that interpretation of option B, Rambam Chama, that would only be enough to make Chilufein and Gedulein Asr on the one who himself made the Chiluf. Now, however, to make other people Asr, that wouldn't be enough to go ahead based on this principle of Chilufein and Gedulein. Now, the problem is that our Mishnah says a blanket statement that you're going to be Asr in Chilufein and Gedulein, which sounds like even if someone else does the switch, if someone else does the Chilufein. Now, that Isr, it would obviously have to be coming based on the term of Elu. And this is how the Ran's explaining why Elu is specific, because regarding the option B's halacha of when you make a Chilufein, when you swap Isra Anah in general, when someone else does the Chilufein, there's not going to be Isser on the Chilufin. And the reason being is because that's based on a penalty, where the Rabbanan said that, okay, we're going to say, because the real Isser Hanah of Chilufin is only by two areas, of Avodah Zarah, but it doesn't apply to all other. So that's a rabbinic injunction, but that's only as a penalty. That's only if the person himself is doing it. If someone else swaps this thing, we're not going to penalize him. Now, and therefore, so it obviously is integral to have Elu. Now, Rambam Chama, however, this is what he was saying. He said, it's obvious to me that you're right. When someone else does the Chilufin, so then obviously the reason why Chilufin is going to be Aster cannot be because Chilufin ki Gedulein, like Oli Isur Hanah, because based on that, we wouldn't make it Aster. It's only when the person himself does the Chilufin. So that obviously would be Aster only because you said Elu. So you see, even according to option B, the only reason why it's going to be Aster is only because when you say Elu. Now, therefore, that's why, since it's based on Elu, it's only going to be Asr when the Noider goes ahead and does it. Because as we said, that's like Kavanas HaNoider. That's what the understanding of Elu is, that I want this to be more severe, more intense than a regular Neder, because he's being specific. But that would not apply to the Muder, if you're coming based on the principle of Elu, again, which applies even to option B of Chilufein and Gedulein. Now, however, that's exactly what we explained in our Mishnah, that Elu is the primary point. Now, however, what Rambam Chama is saying, what I am asking, however, is when the owner himself does a Chilufin, that was his question, that is it still going to be Asr the Chilufin only because of Elu, because of what we call Kavanas HaNoider, that we're going to say that still it's only going to be Asr regarding the Noider and not regarding Emud, regarding another party, just like we say when someone else does the Chilufin, which we said when someone else does the Chilufin, it has to work according to all options only because of Elu, which Elu would be Kavanas HaNoider. On that is what Rambam comes, or maybe that, yes, you're right. Although when someone else does the Chilufin, then it's only going to be Asr when you say Elu, and then that obviously would only be for the Noid, not for the Mudr. But what I'm asking about is, when he himself does the Chilufin, then you don't need to have an Elu, because then you could say like option B, because Chilufin is like Yidulehen, and then that, according to that extension, that would make no difference if you're the Noidr or the Mudr. Now, although the Tanna of Mishnah does specify Elu, that's only for the case of when someone else does the Chilufin. Because that is what our Mishnah is talking about, a blanket statement would include everybody. So it would only include everybody only when you're saying Elu, because when you have someone else doing the Chilufin, it's only going to be Asr for the Neider, for the owner, when he said Elu. And that's because without Elu, you're not going to be Asr with the Chilufin since someone else did the Chilufin. And therefore, we understand now why Elu is the specific term. According to all options, you need to have Elu. And the whole question of Rambam Chama was only regarding when he himself is doing the Chilufin, then maybe it obviously could be Asr even without saying Elu, and hence that's halacha that would apply even to the Mudr again, because that would be based on the principle like Uli Suran, that we say Chilufin Kigidulei, and then Zoran had already explained this already on Daf Mem Zayin. That was just answering a side point regarding the understanding principle of our Mishnah, that the Ran saying it is based on the idea of, because you're being specific, and although Rabbi Bachama seems to be wondering and clearing how to define the halach of our Mishnah, if it is because of Kavanas HaNoider, which is the way we're explaining, which is the concept of Elu, or not, but rather because of Chilufin Kigidulein, like Oli Sarana, that's only when you're having the person himself do the Chilufin, then we wanted to know, would that work even without Elu, and thus extend even to the Mudr? But the principle that our Mishnah is talking about is even when someone else is doing the Chilufin, and that would only be if he says Elu, and again, that would be based on the principle of, because you're being specific, so then you're taking an intense neder, which would make it like Hekdesh, and thus even what comes out of it, which is called Chilufin and Gidulein. Now, the Mishnah continues and says, that was if you said Kain and Peyrus to Elu a lot. But let's say you said that I want fruits to be asr shani oichel v'shani toim, that I'm not going to eat them and I'm not going to taste them, then mutter b'chilufein b'gidulein, and then you're actually permitted in what it's swapped for in its outgrowths. And the reason being, and that's the chiddush that the Ran says, that although that when you say the terminology shani oichel v'shani toim, you're actually increasing the prohibition, which includes even the juice of the fruits, still you're not going to be forbidden in the chiluf and the gidul, because when you eat that which what it was swapped for, or what the outgrowth was, you're not tasting those fruits itself that you made yourself forbidden and to taste them or to eat them. And therefore, obviously the thing that you exchange it for, you're not tasting those fruits and you're not eating those fruits. That's why it's going to be permitted, even though essentially the added term of Ashan Eich Ashan Itayim comes to increase Isser, it doesn't include Chilufin and Gidulein. Now, however, the Mishnah continues and now qualifies both halachas that we just mentioned. Now, first of all, we're going to discuss what we said in the ratio. This that we said in the ratio, that when you say Kain and Peyrus Ha'elu, which we explained, you're being specific, so then you become Asr in Chilufin and Gidulein. Now, when it says that you're forbidden in the outgrowths, it sounds like that specifically only Gidulein that you're Asr, but sounds like by Gidule Gidulin, the outgrowths of the outgrowth, that then it would be permitted. And on that is what the Gemara is qualifying that halacha, that actually gidule gidulein you'll be permitted in, that's only bedavar shezare kala. That's only regarding these fruits that we're talking about in the Mishnah, are that the root itself is something that will disintegrate. Now, therefore, all that you'll end up having is the gidul, the thing that's an outgrowth of, let's say, that seed. That is when we said in the Mishnah that the original gidulim will be aser. Now, although essentially you don't have any more of the Isser in the Gidulin, because we're talking about something, as the Mishnah just explained, that the seed, the root itself, the bulb is something that disintegrates, still That's what the Mishnah is saying. It's not any worse, any less than chilufin, where when chilufin also, although you're obviously not going to be having any hanoah from the iser itself, it's just what you swapped it for, still it's going to be aser. Now, however, but that's what the Mishnah is teaching us, that by gedulin gedulin, it's going to be mutter, and the reason being is because, since again we're talking about that it's gedulin of something that the seed disintegrates, so that's like chilufin, where you don't have any more of the actual iser itself, so therefore we're essentially on this even keel with chilupin. So just like chalife chalifin is mutter, just like when you make an exchange for an exchange, it's actually going to be permitted, as the Gemara said on Mem Zayinim Abayis, that when you sell the prohibited item, and then you have money, which is the chilufin, and then with that money you get engaged to a woman, then she is mukadeshes, because that's what's called chilufe chilufin. The iser, you got exchanged one time for the money, and then you exchange the money for the woman, that's chilufe chilufin, that's mutter. So therefore that would essentially be the same thing over here, but gedule gedulin is going to be mutter also, because you don't. It's the same thing as chilufin in the sense of, because we're talking about shezare kala, which you don't have any more of the iser itself, you just have an exchange for it, you have something that came from it. And that's why the Mishnah says, Begidulein is Asr, with the understanding is, but Gidule Gidulein is not going to be Asr. Because as the Mishnah explains, we're talking about something that Zare Kala, that the seed disintegrates. Now the same thing applies to the second halacha of our Mishnah. When the person specifies Shani Eichel v'Shani Toim, that we say that then you're going to be Mutter in Chilufin and Gidulein, that's only by something that Zare Kala, where you don't have any more of the seed itself, you don't have the actual, the iser itself in the gidul, and the things that grew post that. So he said that since the whole iser is that you're going to eat and you're going to taste it, and you're not going to eat and taste it because that already disintegrated, therefore that's going to be mutter. Now, however, but the Mishnah continues, Ava bedavar she'ein zarekala, but regarding something where the seed, the root itself, does not disintegrate, it expands into the outgrowths, so then both by the first halach of the Mishnah, of peiros ha'elu, and by the second halacha of the Mishnah, when you say Shani Eichel v'Shani Toim, afil l'gidul l'gidul nasur. And then in both of those cases, even the outgrowth of the outgrowth will be us. And the reason being is because since we're talking about something that the root itself does not disintegrate, so then these outgrowths of the outgrowths still have mixed into it somewhat of the original Isser. Now, although you might have a 1,000-to-1 ratio, that it doesn't make a difference, because that, as the Gemara explains enough in the Testament Aleph, Nidarm is what's called Dabba Sheyesh L'matirin. There is a permitted way out of a nether by being shoyel on the nether. And the halacha is, whatever has matirin, if there's a permitted way out of this prohibited item, then the halacha tells us, afilu be'elav le'batel. As the Gemara says in the beginning of Masechtas Beya, even 1,000-to-1 will not nullify that Isser, because bitl only works when it's always going to be an Isser. But if there's a way out for it to be permitted, then we don't utilize the mechanics of bitl, and therefore, even gedule gedule, no matter how many gedule you're going to have, and it's going to be a 1,000,000-to-1, you're still going to have a little bit of the iser there, and neder, since it's dav yishlam atirin, is never going to be batal. And again, you'll still even be shani eichel v'shani tem, because there's still some of that iser there in this taruvas. Now the Mishnah continues in a related case, but not that a person is saying these fruits are forbidden on him, but rather ho'ima le'ishtai. Someone tells his wife, koinim ma'isi yedech olai, that I take a neder that I can't have from your earnings, or koinim heim alpi, that they're considered a neder on my mouth, or koinim heim lifi, or they're considered a neder to my mouth. So then asa b'chilufein u'b'gidilein, then he's asa in their swaps and in their outgrowth, which seemingly is the same thing as the first halacha, just instead of saying these fruits, he's saying your earnings. So on that, the Ran says that it is teaching us a chiddush, that it's teaching us that when someone designates someone else's produce, someone else's earnings, like in our case where he designates his wife's earnings, it's like he said elu, where, as we said in the ratio, when you say elu, these, so then you're also in chilufein and gedulein. Now, the Ran just forewarns a question, and that is, we know that earnings is something that doesn't have substance, it's not an object that you could touch. And the question is that we're talking about a neder, and the neder has to be chal, take effect on the davar sheyesh b'mamish. And that the Ran says either it's when you use the terminology of koinim yedechol maseihem, that your hands are a neder unto me for the earnings that they will make. So the hands are a davar sheyesh b'mamish. Or it's talking about that the earnings of the woman, that after when she earns it, then there's a substance, then there is the money or whatever it is that she got paid for, the earnings are there. So then it's a davar sheyesh b'mamish, and then that's how it's going to take effect. Now, however, that was when you say koinim hein ma'isi yedecha alai, which is, like we said, like an elu type of a term. But shani oichel shani toim. But if he says that regarding your earnings, that I'm not going to eat them, I'm not going to taste them, then muta bechilufeinu b'gidalei, and then he's permitted in what they're exchanged for and in their outgrowths. And on that, the Ran says this is also an added chiddush, a novelty that we didn't know from the first part of the Mishnah, because as the Ran explains, this second case of shani oichel shani toim of the woman's earnings is even if he said elu. And the reason being is, why is it like as if he said elu? Because since he concluded his statement, shani oichel shani toim, we're saying that although when a person says his regards to his wife's earnings, that's a designation of a specificity, and that's like you said elu, still since you concluded shani oichel shani toim, you're still going to be mutter in chilufein and geduleyin. And that is an added chiddush that we don't know from the reisha of the Mishnah. Because although shani oichel shani toim is not only are we saying that it doesn't help to add on to the Isser, it actually will diminish the Isser, and it will say that you're going to be permitted even though you said elu. The reason being is because when you exchange her earnings or there's outgrowth from it, you're not tasting or eating the Isser because it's not that actual item itself. So therefore, once you conclude shani oichel shani toim, that's a chiddush, although you said elu, which elu makes you asin chilufein geduleyin, but since you conclude shani oichel shani toim, we'll not include it. And that's what the Ran says. That's an added chiddush of this case of the Mishnah, shani oichel shani toim, which you did not know from the reisha of the Mishnah. And that's, of course, as the Ran proves from the Gemara and the Nun Beis Amud Al, and the Nun Beis Amud Beis, that the shani oichel of the reisha was not going on elu. And that is, when you say elu, that's going to create an isser. Shani oichel shani toim, which was not going on elu. And that is what our second half of the Mishnah, that it's talking about ha'im el ishtoi, is adding on that added chiddush of saying that even if you said elu, because every time you designate the wife's earnings, it's like you said elu, and still if you conclude shani oichel shani toim, it's going to make you actually permitted in chilufein geduleyin, because you're obviously not eating or tasting that prohibited earnings when it's being exchanged, because it's not that thing itself. Now again, it qualifies as it did regarding the first half of the Mishnah. That's B'davash Azara Kala, is only talking about by something where the seed, the actual item that's prohibited itself, gets disintegrated. It's not there anymore. Avadavash in Zara Kala, but if it's something where the seed does not disintegrate, then Afila Gedula Gedula Nasru, and then even if it has outgrowths of outgrowths, they're all going to be forbidden, as we explained before, because the Dharma are something that has Matirin, and it's not even bottle, even elephant, you're still going to have a little bit of the Issa there, because it doesn't disintegrate, it just expands. Now, in the related discussion, the Gemara says, where we're talking about a husband and wife making a neder, prohibiting one from the other. So if the husband says, Sha'at oise, regarding that which you will make your earnings, the husband says, Eini oichel ad ha-Pesach, I'm not going to take from your earnings until Pesach time. Or, Sha'at oise eini miskas ad ha-Pesach, what you're going to make, let's say she makes clothing, I'm not going to cover myself with until Pesach. So on that, the Mishnah says, if she's asa salifnei ha-Pesach, if she does make earnings before Pesach, so mutu lechel iskasas acha Pesach. Obviously, until Pesach, he's not allowed to consume that or eat that. But after Pesach, he's allowed to. And the chiddush in this is that we don't think to explain that the term ad ha-Pesach is going on the words of at oisa, and that in oichel would actually mean forever. In other words, you could read this halacha, Sha'at oisa, that which you make, although the next words are eini oichel ad ha-Pesach, but it would be defined of Sha'at oisa ad ha-Pesach, that which you make until Pesach, I'm not going to eat, meaning I'm not going to eat forever. And that is how the Ran explains what the chiddush of the Mishnah is saying, is that no, because if that's what it was meant, the person would have said Sha'at oisa ad ha-Pesach eini oichel. He would have had the words ad ha-Pesach, not at the end, but after the word Sha'at oisa, which you make until Pesach, I'm not going to eat, and that could mean I'm not going to eat forever. Like actually that's the case in the Seif of our Mishnah. From the fact that the person didn't say it like that, it sounds like that Ad HaPesach is going on the consumption, and that's why the Mishnah says that after Pesach, you're allowed to eat it. Now however, as the Mishnah continues, but if he says, Sha'at Oisa Ad HaPesach, and this is the other way that we just explained, if he says that what you make until Pesach, Eini Oichel, I'm not going to eat, or V'Sha'at Oisa Ad HaPesach, that which you make until Pesach, Eini Miskas, I'm not going to cover myself with that, so then, asa lefnei ha-Pesach, if she makes it before Pesach, then asa lechu l'skasa ha-Pesach, then he can't eat or cover it even after Pesach forever, because eini oichel or eini miskasa is, that's already an eternal, unlimited statement, because ad ha-Pesach was qualifying the making and not regarding the wearing. Now, related to this, the Mishnah moves on with a related halacha. which is similar to that, Sha'at Nenes Li'ara Pesach, the husband tells the wife that there's a neder that you're forbidden to have anah from me until Pesach, im, it's contingent on the condition, im ha'ilachas at le'beis avich ad ha'chag. If you go to your father's house until the Yom Tov of Sukkot, then you're going to be forbidden to have hanah from me until Pesach. Now, the Ram points out that we explained this Mishnah at length on Daf Tezvav Med Aleph, where there was a machlikis Rabbi Huda and Rav Nachman regarding if the woman is permitted to have hanah right now, and that is, are we concerned that if we let her have hanah now, then she might come to violate the condition which will thus trigger retroactively the Isser until the Yom Tov of Sukkot, which is that she's not allowed to go. In other words, if we let her to eat now, is that permitted? Because there's no violation of the neder. The neder is only prohibited if she ends up going to her father. That is a machlokes of Huda and Rav Nachman. It has ramifications how you define the Mishnah. And one should look at Daf Tezvav Med Aleph regarding how we explain this Mishnah based on the Ran's interpretation. But be that as it may, the Mishnah tells us that if the husband tells the wife that you're forbidden to have enough of me until Pesach, if you go to your father's house until Sukkot, so halchalaf ne'a Pesach, if she goes before Pesach, which is a fulfillment of the condition, then obviously asur ba'anah se'ala Pesach, then she would be forbidden to have enough of him up until Pesach, because that's definitely within the framework of the condition, so the condition was fulfilled, so the neder kicks in, that she's forbidden to have enough of him until Pesach. Now we could hear on Tamid Beis, now, but if she goes l'achra Pesach, if she goes after Pesach, And moreover, as Tais explains, we're talking about a case where she had a hanah from him before Pesach from his items. So then she's going to be considered as violating Bebal Yachal, the Isra of violating the neder retroactively. Because since, even if she's going after Pesach, but she already had hanah from him until Pesach, and that is the violation of the neder if she fulfills the condition, which she is, because she's not allowed to go up until Sukkot, which is after Pesach. So if she goes after Pesach, but it's not yet Sukkot, so now she's fulfilling the condition, and thus it turns out when she did have a Na before Pesach, which obviously according to the Manda Amma that said you could, that's what it's saying, that you could, but then you'll be violating. According to the one that says you can't, it's saying that's why you can't, because what's going to happen is, then you, since you're not careful with conditions, and you'll end up fulfilling the condition, you're going to retroactively be violating the Neder, which was made that you can't have a Na before Pesach, and she already had a Na before Pesach. Now the Mishnah continues, if the husband says, Sha'nenes li arachag, you're not allowed to have anah from me up until Sukkot. Now it's the other way around. Here it's that the Isra anah is longer and the condition is shorter, which is the inverse of the other case. So the husband says, Sha'nenes li arachag, you're not allowed to have anah from me up until Sukkot. Im oileches at lebeis avich ala Pesach, if you go to your father's house up until Pesach. So halchalaf ne'a Pesach, if she goes before Pesach, which is the fulfillment of the condition, then asur ba'anah se'arachag. Now she's forbidden, even for that later point in time, to have anah from him up until the Yom Tov Sukkot. But umiteres le'lech achar Pesach, of course she could go after Pesach. And actually that's discussed on Daf Tezvav, so what's the chiddush in that? So on that, the chiddush is, the Ran explains, is that because that we're telling you that we're not concerned that she might come to confuse the time frame of the going to our father's household with the time frame of the prohibition of hanah. Now, we're not concerned that if we're going to let her go after Pesach, she might think that so too she's allowed to have hanah after Pesach, which is not the case because the Issa hanah is up until Sukkot. And that we're not concerned since the contingency of the condition of going was only up until Pesach. After Pesach, she's allowed to go and there's not going to be any problematic elements of having hanah because the contingency was only up until Pesach and not after Pesach. Now, the Mishnah said, if someone tells his wife, your earnings are forbidden as a neder on me, or koinim hein al pi, they're a neder on my mouth, or koinim hein lefi, or they're a neder to my mouth, b'chulu, etc. So the Mishnah qualified that this whole halacha was told much as zarek kala. But if it's ein zarek kala, if the seed does not disintegrate, then we said that actually even gedulin are also going to be usr, because you're always going to have a little bit of that isr in there, and again the dharm is something that doesn't have any bitl because it's yesh l'matirin. Now, related to this discussion of gedulin and gedulin, the Gemara tells Yishmol ish kvar yama. Yishmol, who is a man from a village which he lived by the seashore, v'amrila, and some say it was ish kvar diyama, which as the Rush explains, that was the name of the city, a village of diyama. Either way, hela b'yodei betzel. So he had in his hand, he had this question regarding the following onion. Now, this onion was sha'okr b'shvias. It was pulled out from the land, during the Shemitah year, which has certain prohibitory status, but v'notu b'sheminis, it was then replanted in the eighth year. Now, what happened was, v'rabbi gidulov alikorei, there was an increase of the outgrowth of the bulb of this onion, more than what the bulb itself was. Now, the Ram points out, it's obviously not just that there was an increase of growth, it was that it was such a type of increase that had it been, let's say, this prohibited Shemitah onion, been mixed with that amount of other types of permitted items, it would have been enough to nullify the prohibited status. As we know, there's a halach of roi, there's a halach of shishin, whatever it is, it would have been enough. Now, so what's the question? The question of our Gemara is, because specifically it wasn't something else of heter that this prohibited Shemitah onion was mixed with, it was with its own outgrowth. That is, the Gemara's question is going to be regarding, do we say the permitted outgrowth, because that's already permitted, that outgrowth was from planted in the eighth year, which is not a Shemitah year, will that elevate and nullify the iser of the original bulb, which is from the Shemitah year, or not? As the Gemara explains, and this was Yishmael's question. Gidulav heter v'ikari iser. What we have over here is we have the growth, the outgrowth, is permitted. It wasn't grown during the Shemitah year. But the ikar, the primary, the bulb itself, which was pulled from the ground in the Shemitah year, that's prohibited. So therefore, the question is, kim de rabbi gidulav mi'ikari, since the outgrowth is more and it has the shear of nullification in contrast to the primary part of the prohibited onion. So do we say, do we say that now those prohibited outgrowth will elevate the prohibited status? Or do we say not? Now, the Ran explains that that the primary doubt of Yishmael was that do we say, since these outgrowths are essentially manifestations and an outgrowth of the primary part, which is enoi kala, which, as we explained, the Mishnah is, are certain things like onions, which they don't disintegrate, like certain seeds that you plant and the seed disintegrates, and all you have is the new plant. This doesn't, it just expands. So therefore, it should be that the outgrowth will be like the ikar itself and will be asr, because it's essentially just an extension of the isr itself. Or the Ran says, would we say that no, it's like heter, because it did grow these outgrowths from the eighth year, and therefore they will elevate the isr of the primary bulb, which was from the seventh year. Now the Ran says that actually, according to this explanation, the Gemara could have asked a question regarding the outgrowths themselves. Are the outgrowth, forget about the outgrowth nullifying the ikar itself, the bulb itself, are the outgrowths permitted or forbidden? Because that's essentially the same question. On that, the Ran says, but yes, since they're dependent one on the other, because if the gedulim are heter that could nullify the iser, so obviously then the gedulim themselves are permitted, and if they're not going to elevate and nullify the primary part itself, then obviously they themselves are usr. Because if they were permitted, then they would nullify. So therefore, they're the same thing. So the Gemara just takes it a step further and wonders and says it in a way of not only that they would be permitted, but that they would even nullify the primary part itself. But essentially, the question is, are they themselves permitted or are they asr? So asla kamei de Rebami. So Yishmael, with this question, came in front of the Rebami. Lahav b'yadi, he didn't have the answer. So asla kamei de Yitzchak Nafcha, he came in front of Rebbi Yitzchak Nafcha. So he resolved the question from the following halacha of Reb Chanina Teresai, who said the name of Reb Yanai, that said, "Bitzal shel truma." If you have an onion of truma, which is that a person, a non-kohen, had taken off from his produce and given this to the kohen as truma for his produce. Now that onion of truma shenetoi was itself then went and was planted. Now the rabbi gedulav alikari. Now the outgrowth of that onion had more enough to nullify the primary part of the onion, what it was when it was truma. So on that, Rabbi Yanai said, then mutter. Now it's going to be permitted. In other words, what that means to say is that now the onion is not going to be considered like truma anymore. Because, and this is what he's resolving the question from, because obviously the gedulim, the expanded part, nullified the primary, and now there's no more truma even in the original part anymore. Now the Ran does point out, but obviously that would make it tevel as untithed produce, because the gedulav are new things which were never tithed yet, and you didn't take truma. So moreover is that, and even the gedulim was mevatel the ikar, and it's just that when Rabbi Yanai said that it's permitted, it means to say that it's permitted and there's no problem of truma. It's not forbidden to a zar, but not that you're permitted to eat it as regular, it's just that you'd be permitted to eat it in what's called achilas aroi, in a temporary, non-established type of eating, which tevel is permitted to be eaten that way, That's what Rabbi Yana was saying, that you're allowed to eat it, and it's not considered truma, even part of it. So you see that the gedulav are mevatlin esta ikar, and that resolves Yishmael's question. So Amli Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yirmiyah, and some say it was ve'itim Rabbi Zvika. The Rabbi Zvika said to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Shavik Mar Train, the master you Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, you're leaving two opinions. That is, as the Gemara will quote, Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Yonasan, who they both obviously hold that the gedulim do not come and nullify the ikar. Ve'avik Echad, and you're following one opinion, that of Rabbi Yanai. Yes, you brought an opinion that obviously holds that it is mevatel. But there's two opinions, and generally go with two over one, that say that it's not mevatel. As the Gemara explains, man in the train, what are these two opinions? The Amr Bevo, Amr B'yechanan. That's the first opinion. B'yechanan says, Yalda, if you have a young tree, which specifically is not 3 years old yet, which that therefore has the halacha that its fruits have of orlo, that they're prohibited to have anah from them. Now, you take such a tree that's not even 3 years old yet, and you cut it off, shesivcha biskein, and then you do what's called harkava, which is grafting. You then take the young sapling and you attach it to an older tree, which is already over 3 years old. Now, uba peiris, and the young tree that wasn't 3 years old yet already had fruits on it. Now, the reason being, because if there weren't any fruits on that young tree, then as the Gemara tells in Masech the Sikhtet of Mamgimel Mabez, that then the young tree that gets grafted into the old tree would be nullified and would be considered as part of the old tree. So we're talking about specifically that the young tree had fruits already, which were prohibited because they're arla fruits. So on that, Rabbi Yechon says, Afa pishay sifa. So even though now that those fruits from the arla tree, now that they got grafted into the old tree, and since then they increased and they have gedulin of even masayim, 200 times more than it was before it was grafted. Still, and although that's generally the shear of bimavatul arla, still usr. Still, we're going to say that those original fruits are going to be usr, and that is although the gedulin of heter, which happened in these fruits since they were attached to the old tree, which is a permitted tree, it's not an arla tree, still the halacha tells us that the young tree that is grafted into the old one, although we generally say that it's nullifying it, still these fruits, since they were on the tree from before they were grafted, we obviously say that the gedulin are not going to be mevatel the ikar. So although generally we say that 200 to 1 will be mevatel arla, here since they're an outgrowth of the iser itself, we say that the gedulin are also to and not be mevatel it. So we have one halacha that says, not like Rabbi Yanai, from Rabbi Yechanan, that the gedulin are not mevatel as ikar. Moreover, we have a second one. He says, an onion that was planted in a vineyard. And that's obviously a problem because that's what's called klai hakerem. You're not allowed to plant another type of a vegetable in the vineyard. Neker hakerem. Then they ripped out the vineyard. And therefore, there's no problem of now what more the onion grows now is obviously growing in the permitted status because it's not growing in the vineyard. You took out the vineyard, the only thing that's left there is that onion. And actually, even more than this, the Gemara Masechta Menachos adds on the words, Afilo Haitzim Asayim, even if now the new growth, since the vineyard was pulled out, is 200-fold more than what the onion was when the vineyard was there, which had a prohibited status of Klayim, which generally 200 to 1 would be Mevatel Klayim, still Rabbi Yonasan says, Aser, going to be usr. So obviously you see from Rabbi Yonasan that the outgrowth, since it came, the growth of this onion was from the bulb itself. So the outgrowth, even though it's 200 times the original one and it's from a permitted status because there wasn't any vineyard when they were growing, it's still like the original isr, and therefore the whole thing is going to be usr. And therefore that's the question that they asked either Rabbi Yirmiyah or Rabbi Zvika or Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. That's seemingly the case of Yishmael, who is asking regarding Shemitah, should be no different. And that is, we see that from two opinions versus the one that you brought, that the Gedulim are not Mevatel HaSeker. So therefore, Hadar Asa L'Kamed Derabami. So Yishmael didn't have a good answer because two are saying that the Gedulim are not Mevatel the Iker, and one said that it is. So he came in front of the Rabbami. Upasha Lemin Hadar the Amr Yitzchak Gomer B'Yechanan. So he resolved it from the following halacha that Rabbi Yitzchak said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan said, litra bitzalim shetikna. A litra, a certain amount of a measurement of onions that were fixed already, meaning that you already took off the necessary trumas amaisis, so it's not tevel anymore. But then v'zerah, then the person went and took that whole litra, this whole bunch of onions, and went and planted it. Now, actually, that's why the Ran says it uses the terminology of zriya, which you normally wouldn't use if you were planting one onion, because we're talking about a bunch of onions. A litra is a bunch of onions. It's a certain amount of measurement. So if the person went and took all these onions, which weren't tevel anymore, because you already took up trumas and mice, and then you replant it, so now Rabbi Yechanan says, mis aseres lefikula. Now, when they grow now, the new growth, you have to take meiser according to everything. Meaning not only according to the growths which were never had meisers and trumas taken off from it, but even based on the primary bulb of the onion itself, which it originally had been taken off trumas and meisers. So on that, Rabbi says, what you see from Rabbi Yechanan's halacha, Alma, Eisen Gedulin, obviously that the new growths, which are obligated in trumas and meisers, are mevatlin ikr, nullify the primary part, which was mutter already, because it was already exempt, because you already had taken off trumas and meisers. And yet, we don't say that you only take off trumas and meisers according to the new additions, the new part that grew. We say you take off mesaseres lefikula. So obviously we see that the gedulin are mevatl, and the ikr, as if the ikr wasn't there, and it's considered part of the gedulin, which are mechuyiv, and therefore everything is considered mechuyiv in trumas and meisers. Now the Ram points out one obvious question. Although originally it was Rebbe Avoh who had said the name of Rebbe Yochanan, that a young tree that is grafted into the old tree that had fruits on it already, even though that it has an increase of gedulin of 200, that it is going to be aser. Obviously Rebbe Yochanan holds that gedulin are not mevatel es ikar, so that the Ran says obviously it must be a machlokes amiraim, where Rebbe Yitzchak's version is a different interpretation of Rebbe Yochanan, that Rebbe Yochanan holds that the gedulin are mevatel es ikar. That's what Rebbe Ami wanted to prove from this halacha. On that, the Gemara rejects the raya. And the Gemara says, truthfully, I would tell you that the halacha is that gedulin are not mevatel es ikar. And actually, to the contrary, gedulin actually have the same prohibited status as the ikar itself. But then, so how do we understand the halacha over here, where he says if the gedulin have the halacha like the ikar, so then just like the ikar over here was already exempt from trumas and meisers because he had already taken off from it, so then the gedulin themselves also should not require. Whereas here, Rabbi Yochanan's halacha was saying the other way around, that not only are the gedulin chayiv, but even the ikar is chayiv. Rashi Gemara says, dimon l'chomer shani, then maybe here it's different because here we're going as a stringency, and therefore we're saying that the gedulin will be mevatel, because generally gedulin here, these things would never had trumas and meisers taken off of it. So then we're going to say that will be mevatel the ikar, and say that you're going to be chayv in trumas and meisers, not only on the gedulin, but even on the ikar. But this cannot resolve necessarily the question of Yishmael, who he was coming to ask a question of Shemitah, where that was the ikar, and the outgrowth were heter, where there who said that we're going to say gedulin mevatel nasa ikar as a leniency. Maybe only over here we were saying it as a stringency, where we say that, yes, as maybe we'll go l'chumran either way. Maybe gedulin actually would not be mevatel es ikar regarding a leniency regarding Shemitah. There, maybe we would say that the ikar would be aser, maybe even the gedulin would be an extension of that ikar and be aser too. Now, however, although here in this case, Rabbi Yochanan, that it was the other way around, that we said that no, the gedulin would be mevatel es ikar, that's only because that's also a stringency. And that's because we're going to say that although the ikar was potter from trumas and meisers, here we're going to say that the gedulin will consider them separate, and they would be chayv in trumas and meisers. And therefore, since there's so much of it, 200 to 1, it actually will nullify the ikar itself, and even that would be chayv in trumas and meisers. But again, that doesn't resolve the question, would we say gedulin mevatel es ikar, not only chumra, but even l'kula, that we don't see from this halacha of Rabbi Yochanan.